Hello, and welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans. I'm David Bailey, and over the past nearly 12 years, this podcast has taken on many forms, from interviews and audio diaries to cultural snapshots and expat reflections. You might notice some different podcast names mentioned along the way, but it's all part of the same journey, one that explores life, people, and stories from this fascinating region I now call home. If you're enjoying the listen, I'd love it if you left a quick review or rating wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps others discover the show. And if something in the episode sparks your interest or curiosity, why not drop me a message? I always enjoy hearing from listeners. I always reply.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans, the podcast that takes you on a captivating journey into the heart of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. Each episode, we delve into the rich history, vibrant culture, and hidden gems of this beautiful country. Through engaging conversations and personal anecdotes, we aim to bridge the gap between the Balkans and the rest of the world. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired, entertained, and connected.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
This is the Balkan Adventures Podcast with David and Tamara. Everyday life and experiences in the Western Balkans.
I've arrived in the middle of nowhere. Well, that's not actually true. I've left Banja Luka with Tamara. We drove south to a junction, to a sign that we always pass, and we've never really thought about what is up that road. Yeah, okay, once or twice in the last 17 years we've driven across to Manjača to see a particular cultural event, but apart from that we've never really gone up there. Plus Tam just hates driving up serpentines all the time. But today we've gone right, we've gone up past the serpentines. Not only that, we came off the main road and then down another very, very small road and then onto a dirt track, and boomf, we're at the end of the dirt track in what is, I have to say, someone's massive garden. Typical Bosnian style, everybody's got fruit trees. I'm not sure whether these have had plums or apples. I can see apples. So I can only imagine there's going to be hundreds, if not thousands of litres of rakia distilled come November. But you might hear in the background a lot of people talking, and they're not the people that live here. These are people, these are immigrants, both from Bosnia-Herzegovina and from outside. These are very special immigrants. These are immigrants that do drilling and bolting, which is scaring me rigid, I have to say. At least I'm not going to be doing it, but I'm going to be seeing it. And I've caught up with one of the immigrants now, and I hope he doesn't mind me calling him an immigrant. David, you're from Austria.
Yes, I'm from Austria, that's right. I think the better word would be I'm a reverse Gastarbeiter here, actually. I'm from I'm from the city of Vienna. It's not very far away. It's about 5 hours north. And yeah, I've been here 15 times, and now I came to live here for 9 months.
Yeah, I've got to ask you that. When people look at me, they go, why did you give up the wonderful ways of the West to come to Banja Luka? So you're on the limit in a way. So the question I'm going to bounce to you now, why?
I think I came across the Balkans, like I did a trip 10 years ago. And for whatever reason, I just was really, I felt really strongly about Bosnia. I really felt that this is the most interesting country in the whole region. And I'm a rock climber, so I was looking for climbing. And by accident, actually, I met some people in Sarajevo, some people from Banja Luka, some people from Sarajevo. It was a group of biology students. One of them was a climber, and they invited me here to Banja Luka. So I came here the first time 5 years ago, and I've been here about 15 times since 2010. And yeah, keep coming. We explore together, we climb together. Yeah, we're having a great time. People come and visit me. We do ski touring, climbing in Austria, Germany, Italy. So it's been a very great relationship with the people here.
There's a lot of people with bags, and I was just walking around this, what you call the base camp. It's absolutely great. Multicoloured tents. Everybody's curling up. Well, there must be a technical phrase for it, but curling up ropes and things like this. So it is a climbing pursuit. Now, put me out of my agony. What is drilling and bolting?
So the thing is, in order to equip climbing routes, there are different styles of climbing. You could, I think the classical one is to place protection in cracks and in rocks. You just have some gear that you can put in there, where you can clip a carabiner and then to attach your rope to be safe if you're climbing up. But what we are doing here is called multi-pitch climbing. So the thing is, you have several rope lengths. Routes here are in general from 100 to anything about 300 meters long. So in order to climb these routes in a modern style, I would say you have to put bolts, means you have to drill a hole, put in a bolt and a hanger where you can clip your carabiner into. So when people want to repeat that route and climb that route in order to be safe, you have to put anchors every about 30 meters or so where you can attach yourself to, and then you can belay the next person coming from the bottom up to you, and then yo-yo style go above you. So this is what we're doing. It's a lot of work. You can really call it construction site work, but it also has a beautiful design aspect to it. Yes, this is what this is about. We're trying to create a new climbing area here.
As an Austrian and coming from a mountainous region, and the only thing that I can think, and the reason it stimulates me to ask this question, is there was a sign at the bottom of the road when we turned right to come up to Rivnik, and it said Austria Alpin or something like that. So are you what we would traditionally associate with being an alpinist?
I would say I'm a solid climber. I've climbed for about 6 years now. The thing is, but my interest is not only with climbing, but it's also really with the climbing culture, with everything. So I really like to also explore a lot. There is great potential here to do that, to just become active in creating new routes. I'm really interested in history, so I would say, yeah, I'm interested in the culture as well as the sport. And
we were only here less than 5 minutes, and Tamara is hugging another guy. We'll have to talk about that later. No, but seriously, because she found somebody that she hadn't
seen him all my life.
Yeah, and she hadn't seen him for so long, and he has got this aurora about him already that there's a certain level of confidence of him being in this base camp. So I'm now going to ask you, 10 years since you've been coming here, this is now a climbing festival. How strong is the climbing fraternity in Bosnia-Herzegovina?
The thing is, the climbing scene, I think there were some pre-war climbers here, as far as I've heard. They put up some routes down in the canyon in a traditional style, so they didn't leave a lot of gear. I think there were strong alpinists from the region, from all over Bosnia, that came here, some Banja Luka climbers. But after the war, I think there weren't really any climbers. My friends from the climbing club, they started on a 5-square-meter plywood wall. They just had a few climbing holds. Igor was giving a speech day before yesterday, and told us how they didn't know anything, but they were really passionate to learn. They had a volunteer, first one in 2009, to teach them how to place bolts, how to make use of the great rock that they have here. And then they've done a tremendous amount of work to equip a climbing gym, really do-it-yourself style, but I think it's a small jewel. Like, there's a great community. There are a lot of new climbers now. I would say that there are about two generations of climbers now in Bosnia, in Banja Luka. And yeah, it's a really tight community. It's a DIY community. And the effort that they put into creating their venues for climbing and their climbing gym is amazing. for me to see coming from a country that is very prosperous, I would say very saturated, and the people here are just have a lot of energy. It's great what they're doing.
We better get over the painful question now so we don't have to go through it later. Bosnia-Herzegovina with its tragic tear apart, civil war, the history of the late 1990s, takes a long time for wounds to heal, for pains to go away, for people to tolerate, for people to get used to things. And you can still see it today. It's a reality of life. The country is split in two, but we're here today in the northern part of Bosnia, which gets the worst part of the bad public relations, if I can put it that way. Is this just a primarily a Republika Srpska deal, or are there people from elsewhere as well?
We've invited people, I would say, from 10 countries internationally, maybe more, from, I would say, UK, France, Austria, Germany, Israel, everywhere we just reached out. And for me, it was especially important that we also invite, I would say, 5-6 other climbing clubs from Bosnia, from cities like Mostar, Sarajevo, Travnik, Zenica, Gradiška. So we really try to bring everyone here, make it a big party, make it a spectacle. The club, as far as I know, has good relations with other clubs from Sarajevo, from Mostar. But it's been difficult, I think, for two reasons. I think people, like you said, there is a history of recent history of violence, and everyone has a history usually of death, maybe some more than others, but everyone has this. And I think it's difficult that the people are coming together. And I think, yeah, it's been difficult to find other people to come here. We have a few great people that join us from Sarajevo, actually, and usually also people from Mostar join us. And there are some good contacts, and I hope that this will intensify after this festival. We'll keep working hard to give the people some easy opportunities to share a very positive thing yeah.
Well, hopefully, when they see the photographs and the videos on this vlog and blog, they're going to be wanting to be here. Right, you said earlier on you're going to tell me a little bit about what I can see today in my all but short trip. So go on in, let's do the guided tour.
All right, let's go. So we're walking through the garden here. On the left, we have a tent that was supplied, as I think, by the military. It's a green military tent. It's 5 by 10 meters. It's 50 square meters. So this is where we have the meals at night. We have a super nice wood stove that looks also quite ancient, and I think it's going to last a very long time. It's going to stay for a very long time with us.
Who's doing the cooking, by the way? Is it you?
No, it's not me. We have some volunteers. Boris Lonchina, one of our great chefs from Banja Luka, actually, he made a traditional bean soup, vegetarian one, because what's a bit atypical for this area, I think we're having a lot of vegetarians through the international people. And yeah, what else can I say as far as resources go? We put some water here.
Who needs food when you have beer? Yeah, I can see
true.
That.
True. So maybe I should say something about the liquids. We got water. The municipality, especially the tourism office of Banja Luka, was tremendously helpful. They got us a water line here. This village didn't have a water connection, so our 85-year-old neighbor, I think he's 85, I hope he doesn't mind me putting his age, but got some water now, which I think is quite a great deal. We have some electricity that the municipality helped us to get, and we have this garden that was given to us by one of the villagers. We're asking him, hey, if we're going to come here and have a climbing festival, what do you think? Wouldn't it be maybe too loud? What do you think about international people coming here in your garden? Which is a bit abandoned. There are three small houses that we can use for storage, for the fridge, with, I would say, I think 500 bottles of beer that were donated to us by Nektar to put also the... This festival is called Drill and Chill Climbing Festival, so it's not only about drilling, but it's also about
chilling.
So, which I think is quite a great deal. And yeah, what else is there? There is the garden, there are the palm trees, we have a lot of colorful hammocks that were given to us by our friend from Ticket to the Moon Hammocks.
You've got quite a few sponsors then.
We have got quite a few sponsors. We just spread the word, and it started with our main sponsor, Austria Alpine. I have good connections with them through my job in a mountaineering store in Vienna. So I asked them, and they told them about this project. They had a meeting with the board, and they were super psyched for our project, and they gave us a very big amount of material. So without them, this rock would have never started rolling in the first place. I have to give credit to them. We have local sponsors. The tourism office of Banja Luka has been tremendously helpful. We have Nektar for the beer. We have Tropic, who gave us food so we can provide the volunteer with a warm meal a day. We have Ticket to the Moon for the hammocks. We have, I hope not to forget anyone, Fischer, who gave us some bolts. We have the municipality, who gave us a van. We have Tourism Office of Republika Srpska. We have, who else? We have Boulder Bar. We have Red Bull. So I think we really have a few good names that show their love.
Well, yeah, when I came in, I just thought, well, the logos are up. Ticket to the Moon, that's just a camping company, right?
That's actually a really cool company by one of our volunteers here. They actually, what I think is, if I remember correctly, they bought a company in Bali, in Indonesia, and they have a really cool factory there with great working conditions, they're selling the hammocks for a great price. And I think, yeah, they're always supportive, going from climbing festival to climbing festival to put up their hammocks, and
if we weren't going to the UK on Wednesday, I'm telling you, I would be having... Tam, would you do a night in a tent with me?
Not with you.
We have plenty of people here. We'll try to find someone to put in the middle.
Yeah, and it's a glorious day. How has the weather been for you? I mean, yesterday, we're recording this on a Monday. The Sunday when I wanted to come up, it was... We're going through that brutal period now in Balkan weather terms where we go from plus 30 down to minus 18, from beautiful sunshine down to rain. It was raining yesterday. How's the weather affecting you?
We've been thinking about this, and we were hoping for good weather, and I think we really did a good job. We ate up our food, so really to kind of try to have a good impact on the weather. It's been great. We had, on the first 2 days, it was brutally hot. It's middle of September, so here it was a heat wave in Banja Luka, 39 degrees, 38 degrees for the first day. So it's been quite crazy, but everyone's coming from, most international people are coming from north, and they're really happy to have Indian summer here. And we had one rainy day yesterday, and the forecast for the week, I think, is going to be really great, perfect conditions, 20 degrees, a little bit of wind, and that's just perfect.
What sort of conditions do you really need for optimum climbing? I mean, from Austria, if you say to me Austria, I'm thinking, snow, ice, and, really cold. But you're doing it in absolutely the opposite climate. So is it a multi-climate sport?
I mean, it's a four-season sport. You can do alpine climbing, you can do ice climbing in the winter, you can do any kind of high mountaineering stuff. But what we're doing here is multi-pitch sport climbing and a little bit of alpine climbing, I would say. And there you just need it to be dry, so it shouldn't rain. It shouldn't be too cold, so anything below 0 degrees, freezing, I think, is not so much fun. And also too hot is not so good, because it'll decrease friction. So if you sweat too much, you're not going to stay on the rock. Your skin gets soft, your shoes become soft, everything becomes soapy. So I think anything between 15 degrees and 20 degrees, I think, is quite perfect.
Well, you've got a really great week ahead.
Yes.
Look at all these cars. There's one here from the Czech Republic, another one from France, your hometown Austria, Belgium as well, Slovenia. My goodness, did you say you've got Brits as well?
We got a guy from England, actually. Yeah, he's from nearby London. He flew here. He came just for the festival. He saw the thing on Couchsurfing, and he just called me up and said, I'm coming. I'm super psyched to come here. And he just bought his ticket. I talked to him on Skype, and he came.
Do you know, I would never have thought this would be an Englishman's sport.
They're really great. They have really a bold style in climbing. And they're really hardcore English climbers.
You know, it does, David, I have to say, it looks like a mini rock festival campsite, doesn't it? It looks so peaceful at the moment. How far do they have to walk, though, to get to where they're going to climb and drill and do all their activities?
It's about a 15-minute walk through the forest over a field to get to the edge of the cliffs. And what we usually do is then people go an upside, they go down a rope. You could also go bottom-up, but it's a bit further down the road. So people usually collect their gear here, and in the morning some people go. I'm really happy. People are super motivated. They leave at 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning. They don't forget about the beer at night, so they're really working hard. And it's about a 10-15 minute walk through the forest.
How's it organized? Is it a case of four guys or four people? Come on, it's equality. It's the 21st century. Is it so many people and a supervisor or an experienced person? Or is it sort of like freelancing, freestyling, you know, free for all?
So the thing is that Igor Vukic and I, David Lemmerer, we came up with this idea to develop this canyon a bit more. And so I think we put in most of the work in the beginning to get it rolling. And then a lot of people have been joining us from the club internationally, media people, friends of ours that were just showed a lot of support. So then how this festival is now organized, it's that we really keep, I would say, a very flat hierarchy, if you can keep it like that. We have regular bolters meeting at 9 o'clock in the evening. There is dinner at 8. We have a few little events in between. And people can contribute. If they have an idea, they want to have a morning yoga session, we can announce it if someone wants to show climbing films. So we try to be as inclusive as we can. We have some really great people. Dirk Urlich, for example, he joined us from Germany. He signed up a few days before. He drove 9 hours to get here. We have Sharko Kalijanin from Croatia. He's a very experienced climber. Both of them put up thousands of routes. They have a tremendous amount of experience, I would say 15 to 20 years. And so they were happy to give us a bolting course. We try to include as many newbies as possible. This idea is also to promote climbing as a European sport, to bring people together and to create learning experiences. I personally have learned a lot, and we're trying to keep everyone safe, so there needs to be a little bit of structure. We try to decide things together with the people if we can, but as far as the program goes, as far as the safety rules goes, we have a cleaning hour, for example, in the morning. The city of Banja Luka, especially the tourism office of Banja Luka, was extremely helpful. They're closing the road every day from 11 to 11:30. It's a big deal. It's Magistrala, the main north-south highway to Sarajevo. So there we cannot be so. There you need to be a bit strict, I would say. Tell people, okay, if you need to take down big rocks, 11:05 to 11:25. But other than that, if it's not about safety, if it's just about the fun, we're really inclusive for everyone.
I'm looking down at my stomach. It's a 62-year-old stomach. I think I'm sponsored by Nectar, the local Bevo. But nevertheless, everybody here is amazingly fit. And, you know, I was thinking just now when you mentioned yoga, how fit do people that engage in this sport have to be?
I think it's quite a lot of cross-training we're doing lately. Like, you walk up and down through the forest, you're pulling on small climbing holds, are doing a lot of mileage and steep terrain. So I think if you're not fit from the beginning, you just start slowly and you're going to be very soon. I hear a lot of people from who are into fitness. There is this joke that people are saying they're stopping climbing because it's becoming a vertical fitness center, climbing gyms, you know. I think it's a really great sport for overall three things. Coordination is very important, keeping balance. You need to have a little minimum amount of power and strength that you're going to get a lot if you go regularly. And then also your brain, Wolfgang Güllich said, is the most important muscle. You need to know where you're going. You need to keep up a good pace. You need to find the routes. You need to be smart how you move to be efficient. So your brain is maybe even the most important.
And you need a head for heights.
That's true. Or you get used to it. Start slow.
Is it really possible to get used to it? For me, we're looking at a small shack here, I think, where people used to smoke their meat back in the day. I mean, it is hardly the Empire State Building. But I'm telling you, David, if I get on top of that, my legs are going and you know, I got rubber legs.
I think we should go and see and have a look. There are a lot of people hiding.
Oh, hang on. He wants me to... No, go on. But is it possible to lose the fear of heights?
I think so. I mean, I think there is a saying that experience and knowledge will bring safety. So I think the more experienced you are, how to move on loose rock, how to move in heights, I think people, I can say for myself and also for many people I know, the more capable you feel, And the more objectively you're not at risk, I think height is not a problem. But I think we could go over there now. There are people highlining, actually. I'm not sure if I mentioned that. We have a great international group of crazy guys who came from all over Europe.
See, there you go. When you're saying crazy, my leads are going already.
They're really focused on safety. They're having a lot of discussions over the beer.
Yeah.
It's very important that we have the beer so people will get together and discuss, you know. And they put up about 3 highlines. Some of them are 40 meters of distance and I think about 100 meters of vertical. So we could check that out later. I think we're going to have a drone pilot as well joining us maybe tomorrow. So we should have some great footage of that. And I think we could check it out.
Okay, let me just put my beer down, get my backpack, and we're all going to go and walk and see what these guys and girls are doing. I'm telling you, this is an amazing experience. If you're listening to this as a podcast, there'll be lots of links in the descriptions where you can find out more. And if David is going to do this next year, then do you know what? Why should you be going to Mallorca just to drink yourself stupid when you can come here a lot cheaper, learn something and get an experience of a lifetime?
To find out more about us and where we live, why not check out our blog at anenglishmaninthebalkans.com. See you next time.
And that's a wrap for this podcast. We hope you've enjoyed finding out a little more about both Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. If you've enjoyed this journey as much as we enjoy bringing it to you, please take a moment to leave us a review and subscribe to our podcast. Your feedback helps us tremendously and makes a huge difference. Thank you once again for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans. So that's it for this one. Thanks for keeping me company. If you enjoyed the episode, maybe share it with a friend who might like it too. And if you've got thoughts, questions, or just want to say hello, you can always reach out. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast and help me keep telling these stories, you can drop a little tip via Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the show notes. Even a euro or two makes a big difference. So that's it then. Take care, and I'll catch you in the next episode.